This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Welcome to the Learning Unlocked podcast, presented by Open Sesame. Taking a deep dive into the global world of learning and development with practical tips and tricks, along with insights from leading brands and the people that make them work. This is Learning Unlocked. Now, here's your host, Brian Berger.
Well, thanks everyone for joining us on the Learning Unlocked podcast. We've got another great episode for you today. My guest is Sukhbir D'Souza. He is the founder and CEO of ITpreneurs. You can find them online at itpreneurs.com. Sukhbir has been in the learning and technology sector for the last two decades. In this period, he's founded six companies in the learning, training, content, and platform space, and an analytics software company. Sukhbir, thanks for joining me on the Learning Unlocked podcast. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you very much. And pleasure to be here, Brian.
So you're joining us from the Netherlands, correct?
That is right. The Netherlands, the flat-landed country. I don't know if you've ever had the pleasure, but we are the only country without any mountains or hills in the world. So
I did not know that. See, I'm learning something already. I have not been to the Netherlands, but it's on my list. And let's start by talking about ITpreneurs. How was the company founded and kind of what was the impetus to start the company?
So I started my career in Procter & Gamble, you know, the American giant in the fast-moving consumer goods space. And in one of my roles there, I was responsible for, building sort of global competence in a new area, new domain. And, really enjoyed that experience. And when I decided to leave Procter & Gamble to start something on my own, I ended up founding ITpreneurs. This is really two decades old. I never imagined I would still be running ITpreneurs, you know, and owning it two decades later. But it's been a really, really interesting two decades of being involved in the learning, competence building space for the last two decades. Not a lot changed in the first 15 years of this journey, as I had hoped and imagined. But I think what we have observed and seen in the last 5 years has made up for everything. We are now, a hot sector. You know, we're going through all sorts of interesting developments and changes, and that's what keeps me interested and exciting.
What are some of the specific big changes over the last 5 years? So many people I've had on this podcast, obviously the pandemic has shifted so many things, but in that 5 year span, what are some of the biggest changes that you've seen?
I think in my observations, the changes actually had already started before the pandemic. We have seen, the advent of, AI, so artificial intelligence and machine learning has started to play a much bigger role in being able to personalize and customize learning and training, which has not really happened. We've talked about personalized learning for the last two decades and, learner centricity, those types of concepts. But it has always been very difficult to achieve because we did not have the technology and the economics to be able to make it happen on a individual level. But what we have seen, you know, the application of the new technology, cloud, artificial intelligence, etc., applied to be able to direct learning, training based on people's roles, interests, by modeling around job roles and the required skills. The advent of the learning experience platforms, the whole democratization has really started to drive a lot of the changes which we have always wanted and to see, where learning can now be more and more linked to performance. You know, I think that has always been the holy grail of investing in training. And we can actually start to see the beginnings of that connection starting to come to fruition.
Walk me through, and this might be a complex question, so forgive me. Personalizing and customizing learning and training. Walk me through that process and how that works. If I'm at a company and, you know, again, it's one size does not fit all for learning mm-hmm. and training, how can you customize a training just for me?
So I think there are already a couple of dimensions which are probably worth taking into account, right? One is the dimension around the learner's learning preferences, you know, an employee's learning preferences, right? We sort of know all from the theory and, you know, over the past years of people being auditory versus visual versus, you know, other forms of, prefer other forms of learning. Some people learn when they talk, some people learn when they write, some people learn different, you know, people learn differently, right? Mm-hmm. And so that, I think, is already one dimension. I think systemically, if we can figure out what people's preferences are, what type of learning content engages them more, which they tend to complete, conclude, you know, that is something relatively easy to figure out if you keep track of the systemic data-based, you know, interactions tell you that and helps you model the learner's preferences rather easily based on the technology which is available today. I think the more complicated part has been what is the right level, what is the type of content which is attractive to the learner, because that goes a lot beyond just the learning styles and preferences. That goes into their job roles, but actually goes much more into what is the natural inclination for people who are doing certain jobs in terms of what are the possible career paths they might want to move into or be interested in. And modeling that is far more complex. And that is where AI has started to come in and play a much bigger role, to be able to model for people's preferences based on the, you know, historical data that is collected across millions of interactions that other learners who have been in similar roles, etc. And so using the technology to feed people with content and seeing which content they engage with helps you model for their learning preferences in terms of topics, domains, etc. And also gives you an inkling of what is likely to be their career paths that they are interested in potentially moving towards. So I don't know if that answers all of the dimensions of the questions, but I think it at least gives a feeling for what, you know, what is it that technology allows us to do in terms of personalization.
More of Learning Unlocked is coming up after this.
Diversity, equity, and inclusion continues to be a top priority for businesses everywhere. Open Sesame has created a survey that will give you insight into where your organization stands on diversity. Aside from being educational, this survey is a powerful tool to help you understand areas of improvement and spark conversations about strategies for creating a more inclusive and equitable workplace. After you take the short survey, you'll get access to Open Sesame's DEI Toolkit, an online hub where you can find additional resources. Visit opensesame.com today to start your survey.
back to Learning Unlocked. Here's Brian Berger.
It's so interesting. It's almost like meeting the learner where the learner is. So for instance, as crazy as it sounds, you know, I'm a busy person. I'm traveling. I'm driving in my car. I'd much rather listen to an audiobook now than read the book. I retain the information by listening to the book more now than reading it. It used to be, you know, I'd sit down and read a book. Now I'm on the go. I want to listen to the book or I want to listen to a podcast. So meeting the learner where they are, I think that's a really great idea. And frankly, you know, we've done a lot of these podcasts. It's kind of the first time I've heard someone talk about customizing the learning to meet the learner where they are.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of movement and discussions and developments which have started to take place, right? I mean, you know, I think Josh Berson, who's a leading analyst in the learning industry, coined the term of learning in the flow of work, right? I mean, it is, I think, very, very interesting idea and concept. By the way, it's something which we do all the time. Whenever we are trying to do something, can't find solutions for it, we go Google it, right? That is sort of, in a way, part of that learning on the, you know, context sensitive learning, etc., that we can all relate to. But indeed, if you can further customize and personalize the, you know, the learning in context of what people are trying to do and trying to achieve, and feed them content in forms which is attractive for them to consume, that just makes the whole process of learning much, much more efficient. And I think that is what everybody is sort of starting to strive towards doing. You know, we are seeing more and more initiatives happening, and this is also where Itunio sees the future. We have been in the content business for last 20 years, focused on the IT space, IT professionals. And we are also experimenting with, can we provide the content in various formats and then use technology and our understanding of, you know, and this is all data and analytics based preferences on how learners want to learn and what type of learning content engages them more. We're trying to start to feed them the same content in the formats which, and you know, it's a long journey still ahead of us, but I think if we can, you know, create some breakthroughs here, I think that will make the whole process of learning, upskilling, reskilling, next skilling, whatever terms are associated these days, much more efficient for organizations. And I think this is where we can create real interesting, you know, real magic in the next generation. So,
how has remote and the pandemic changed the way people are learning? Again, a lot of people that I talked to used to be they worked in an office, they saw people face to face. Now there's a lot of remote communication taking place. How has that changed the landscape?
I will also respond to that on a couple of dimensions. At the organizational level, the human resources, learning and development managers, leaders within the organizations have either seen what they have always predicted or wanted actually come true, right? They've basically seen that there was no other way, right, to do this. And so digital one, and for organizations which had not made enough progress in the past, they had to do it. And as the longer the pandemic lasted, the more imperative it became that they actually develop a strategy, which was, you know, which was digital proof, right? Digital friendly, because 2 years is a long time to not feed your people with the right learning and training content, etc. You start to lose momentum as an organization. So I think at the organizational level, we've definitely seen a shift. And I think that shift is permanent. I mean, obviously we saw a shift, which meant there was everything to do with the physical died down completely. I don't think it is completely dead as the organizations move back. You know, some of that is coming back, but the shift has taken place, and it is dramatic and it is significant, and not all the budgets pre-pandemic are coming back in the same format. So that's one dimension which I absolutely have seen happen in all my interactions, engagements with CHROs, CLOs, chief talent officers, etc. The second dimension is more learner-centric. I think the younger generation, the Gen Z, perhaps even Gen Y, right? For them, the moving, working from home, working remotely, continuing to learn has not been as tough as it has been for the older generation. But I think everybody has adapted. And I do think that the changes in behavior has been the biggest ones for the older employees, let's say. And I'm generalizing very much, and I recognize that. But it has been an experience for everybody to start to work differently, but also learn differently. So I do believe that the future of work has evolved and is different, and future of learning has evolved along with it and is also going to be different in line with more hybrid models, which will probably fall into place. And more organizations are clearly recognizing that.
The other thing that's changed is the importance of continuing education, right? There's so much movement in the workforce now. If you're not providing that for your employees, they're going to leave and they're going to go to a company that emphasizes continuing education, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, because of the acceleration in the whole digital adoption, the number of initiatives in the digital transformation have increased significantly. And I think pandemic has sort of accelerated the pace of that, and it has given leaders who were not maybe familiar or aware or of the potential contribution technology can and will have a further indication and a push. So I think the number of initiatives in this direction have increased and will continue to increase, as is shown by data published by many different analyst organizations out there, right? And that means employees within the organizations have to change along with that, right? So the whole digital confidence within the organizations has to go up, right? In the form of digital skills, various roles, irrespective of which department or which function or which domain you belong to. And so investing in that is just, I mean, it's a no-brainer. It's important to enable. It's important to create the right performance, but also absolutely important to create the right employee engagement. Because without employee engagement, and this is something which has now been proven, and we are talking about the Great Resignation and movements such as those, without employee engagement, people do feel, not enough connection with their employer or their work or their teams, and that is something which is in today's world where talent is massively there are massive shortages of digitally confident talent, right? And that organizations have to think in terms of better employee engagement, better talent mobility, right? Allowing people to be able to move. And that also comes indeed with having proper structural programs, thought through programs around enabling talent mobility through upskilling, reskilling, next skilling types of structured resources, platforms, and also culture, right? Which allows people to spend time on continuous learning, as you very rightly said, Brian. So absolutely, all of these elements are not theoretical anymore, because we've talked about them for the last many years, but they are real. And we observe that every day in our interaction with our customers, and with talent leaders within the organization.
More of Learning Unlocked is coming up after this.
Open Sesame helps companies develop the world's most productive and admired workforces. How? By having the most comprehensive catalog of e-learning courses from the world's top publishers, publishers like TED and Harvard. And having courses that cover learning topics like diversity, equity, and inclusion, leadership development, safety and compliance, and wellness. Try a course for free today by visiting opensesame.com/course of the week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Back to Learning Unlocked. Here's Brian Berger.
I like the term digitally confident. I haven't heard that either. And I think it is important. And you bring up a good point about, the older generation, because they're not as digitally confident as the younger generation. I have a teen daughter. She's used to growing up around this generation of digital. And, for older people who haven't grown up around it, hasn't been native to them, they're not as digitally confident, but that's kind of the landscape that we're working within now, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and I think that offers us a challenge, but also an opportunity to take that generation, right? I mean, if I look at my own generation, right, we already, I'm in my late 40s for the audience, but I already feel that there is a generation gap with my daughter, despite the fact that I have built many tech companies.
Right.
I already feel that my kids are, further ahead in terms of their digital confidence and footprint. And, they are doing stuff which I still have to make an effort to do. And I think this holds true even further for, the generation which is has been before me. And so, but we should not and cannot afford to ignore. We have to take them along, and we have to make extra effort to put the right programs in place, enablement in place to equip them with the necessary skills, but also the confidence to be good digital confident employees, right? So absolutely, it's an opportunity and also a potential differentiator for organizations who do that well.
Just a few minutes left. Can you highlight some of the course titles that ITpreneurs has on Open Sesame? I know, you've worked with them for a number of years. And again, I know that you're really focused on the IT professionals with those courses, but I didn't know if you had any that you wanted to highlight.
I think our partnership with Open Sesame is relatively young. And so we have started with a few of our titles, which are around IT best practices. Mm-hmm. So these best practices reflect and relate to practices which have evolved as a sort of co-creation exercise between various organizations and representatives of it working together to share their experiences and practices. And so these best practices can be around areas such as IT governance, IT architecture, or IT service support, or IT service management, and these types of practices. So we have I think about a dozen titles that we are offering through Open Sesame, and it's a start of what I hope will be a great partnership. I know Open Sesame, as you mentioned, Brian, for a while now, and have had the pleasure and the opportunity to work with a few of your colleagues at Open Sesame, and I know that. As an organization, Open Sesame is doing fantastic work in terms of curating content, right? Learning content and making it, keeping it more relevant, right? And also by being able to combine content from various sources, create the focus on learner needs and, you know, the same topics as we were talking about in terms of learner centricity. So I think in that regard, because our values and ideals and the opportunities that we are going for are very similar, I believe that we are going to have a good partnership with OpenSesame, and we very much look forward to that.
My last question for you, I'd be negligent if I didn't ask this. You're someone who has been a successful entrepreneur. You've started six, seven, eight different companies, as I mentioned at the top of this conversation. If you're going to be an entrepreneur, what are the skills? What's the mindset you have to be an entrepreneur? Because it's not cut out for everyone.
Yeah, but I think this is a very complicated question, because it has so many dimensions. I think the whole definition of what's successful itself is, even for ventures which have failed in its conventional sense, as in have not been in the end economically viable, I have enjoyed them a lot and have learned a lot as part of that. And I think, you know, it's often said entrepreneurs cannot be afraid of the failure, and that's true, right? That's one of the things. If you, as an entrepreneur, you have to take risks, and you have to not be afraid of taking risks and not be afraid of failing. And I am very proud to say that I have had successes in conventional sense and also failures in conventional sense. And I'm as proud of the failures as I am of successes that we have created in the form of successful exits. I mean, the second thing I feel is important as an entrepreneur is to sort of know what your strengths are, you know, to know what parts do you really enjoy. So over a period of time, I discovered that I really enjoy creating conceptualizing new ideas and creating teams to work on those ideas together. And I typically don't enjoy scaling businesses beyond a certain point. It becomes a bit too repetitive for my taste. And so if the company goes beyond a certain revenue size and beyond a certain size in terms of number of employees, I sort of don't enjoy it as much. You know, I sort of look for escape routes in those scenarios. And so I think the point is you sort of know what you enjoy doing, where, you know, you are good at also, and also where the biggest needs are. You know, I mean, in the end, I am also not just doing it for commercial gains anymore. It's also about trying to figure out where can I make the most impact. And so if you can define your own success criteria in ways which you are most comfortable with, I think that helps a lot in waking up every day with energy and doing it all over again.
Sukhbir Jajuja, the founder and CEO of ITpreneurs. You can find them online at itpreneurs.com. You can find their courses in the Open Sesame catalog at opensesame.com. Sukhbir, thank you so much for joining me from the Netherlands. I hope you enjoy your weekend, and this has been a fascinating conversation. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Brian. Really appreciate it. Have a good day.
You too.
Thanks for listening to Learning Unlocked, presented by Open Sesame. Download this and every episode on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Learning Unlocked is produced by Griggs Productions.